Hi everyone. Welcome to the first episode of All Things AI. I'm joined today by Dr. Sue Kay, actually expert in Australia around robotics. So very interested to hear a bit about Sue's background in a moment. During this podcast, both before, during, and post a tech tour to Japan, we want to bring you All Things AI. What can we learn together, demystify, talk about? In relation to the transformative power of artificial intelligence, and what does it mean for the workplace? Obviously, people are nervous about AI as well as seeing the potential. So we intend to bring a fairly balanced conversation to that in that regard, and really talk to everyone about where we see it going. Hearing from Sue in terms of the technical components of AI and what businesses can do to really leverage the technology. And from myself, very much a people and workforce perspective, what does it mean for role design, culture, staff engagement, and all of the things that make up a successful workplace? So let me ask Sue to introduce herself, give us a bit of an insight into her background and how she ended up being the queen of robotics.
Oh, thanks, Helen. So Queen of Robotics, that's quite ambitious. A lot of people find it surprising to discover that I actually started out as a geologist. So my specialty was in the earth sciences, and I was a research scientist, and I moved more into research management and then commercialization, and by a very circuitous path, ended up in the lucky position of being asked to help set up the world's first center combining robotics and computer vision. And that was very transformative. And also something that's a bit in the family, because my sister is the managing director of Silicon Valley Robotics over in the US. And it was an opportunity for me to test whether what she was saying about how cool robotics was, whether any of that was true. And so that was about a decade ago now, and I haven't looked back. I've had a number of different roles in the, broad robotics space, and most recently was working with OZ Minerals as their robotics technology lead, where I was asked to increase the adoption of robotics and automation, but at the same time, faced with the challenge of what that was going to mean for the workforce and how best to assist them in that. So really, that's, I guess, probably what's led me to, come back around full circle into the subject of this podcast, about how, everybody every day in their lives and in their work can be adjusting to this amazing new technology that is coming at us very rapidly.
Great. All right. Well, thanks, Sue. From my perspective, I started TMS Consulting nearly 20 years ago now. And very much our business is founded on the belief that all organisations are human. And as the AI conversation's been emerging over the last few years, and certainly in the last decade, Sue, working with you at some of those places that you've talked about there in your introduction, particularly when we were at working on those robotics and vision and bringing that together, it really, I guess, prompted quite a important conversation in our business about what is the human side of implementing AI and what will it mean in the future to leverage that and make the human experience better because we're leveraging that technology. So, in terms of my background, as I said, been running TMS for about 20 years. We specialize in consulting services that are fundamentally about optimizing human performance. And that brings in both the rational and tangible parts of the workplace around org design, workforce planning, and operating models for businesses. But on the non-rational or intangible side, it's very much about culture, beliefs, leadership. How is it that we engage our staff in a way that means they're fundamentally connected to, invested in, but also valued by the culture of their organisation and for what they can bring to their role and to their organisation. We know that when leaders create psychological safety in the workplace, innovation goes up. And in that work we've been doing with clients, AI often comes up in the conversation. So both personally wanting to optimise it in our business, but equally cover off the risks and talk about what people might be afraid of became really important to us as a consulting company. So So for our listeners, Sue and I got together recently after working together for many years, got together recently and really tried to understand how we might leverage two sides of that story. Sue bringing the technical components of AI and really talking to what can be done there, with myself bringing that human side, and between us overlapping in the middle so that we really understand how to leverage and optimize AI in the workplace to make the human experience even better than it potentially is in our organizations. So I'm going to start with a question off for Sue, as this is the kind of first installment of our podcast today. And we will have four of these coming up prior to the trip to Japan. We'll also be coming to you from Japan and following Japan, and looking at other places in the world as well, of course, about what's happening with artificial intelligence. So could you give us a bit of a layperson's explanation of how AI can enhance transparency in decision making in organizations?
Yeah, thanks, Helen. I think first, it's good to just outline that, AI is far more than just ChatGPT for any of our listeners who are familiar with that form of artificial intelligence. Really, it's fundamentally about having machines that can predict the immediate future with high accuracy and make decisions that make sense to us as humans. And so we, why this is important in terms of decision making is that artificial intelligence can support people so that the scale and velocity and confidence in making decisions can greatly improve, and that many of those decisions can be made on what we call the edge. So actually, in the moment with the person who is in the process of doing a task, being able to make that decision immediately without having to refer back and maybe go up a hierarchical chain of command. So fundamentally, AI alters the way that we make decisions and can lead to a whole range of differences in the way that we would structure an organization to make the best or to optimize our decision making. But how do we make sure that it enhances transparency in decision making? Well, there's a couple of ways that it does that. And partly that's because once you've gone to the trouble of actually making all of your business digital so that all of your data can be interrogated by artificial intelligence, then it really gives you all of the tools that you need to analyze that data and, importantly, to visualize it. So, imagine being able to have a real-time simulation of your business that will help you try different options and then look at the impact that it has on, depending on the decision that you make, how that impacts on the business. That's exactly what AI can do. So, by simulating what the business looks like without you actually having to make decisions in the physical world, you can start to look to make the best decisions for the business and then implement them in the real world, if that makes sense. So, yeah, that's really some of the ways that AI can really help with that transparency and decision-making processes, because you can have confidence that it's actually using the entirety of the data across all of your different business systems to help make decisions.
Great, thanks, Sue. There's some, yeah, some really interesting potential in there, probably some challenges as well. But it's just occurred to me, if someone walked up to us in the street and said, "Well, what is this AI thing anyway? Like, what is it really?" Because you made that comment that, it's not just ChatGPT, which I think is what a lot of people think it is. When you say it's much more than that, what would be a layperson's interpretation of the definition of AI?
I think it really is anything where a machine can replicate human intelligence. So that doesn't mean they have human intelligence, but it means that it is going through a process, and there are a number of different AI processes that allow it to come to a prediction of the best course of action based on the knowledge that you've given to the system. And in a way that in AI, they've tried to replicate a little bit the way that our neural networks work, and that's certainly been very powerful in giving artificial intelligence the ability to be much better at predicting. But really, I'm probably doing a terrible job. If it's a layperson on the street, all I really would say is that it's a way of helping machines to make decisions that we understand as humans without the human having to do the work.
Yeah, great. All right. So if we link that, that idea that machines can, simulate, use algorithms, learn as they go to sort of replicate the human brain's sort of decision-making process. If we put those together with the challenges, how can we trust those decisions? I've heard about, the black box scenario and things whether, we will truly understand in the future how computers are coming to the conclusions that they are or how they're coming to the decisions. So when we think about transparency, what are some of your thoughts about, that black box scenario and how much we can trust the decisions that machines may make?
Yeah, well, because a lot of these developments are happening as we speak, explainable AI is an ongoing challenge, but as you've mentioned, completely vital for trust and adoption of the technology, as well as making sure that it complies with, standard rules and regulations, and data privacy, it's not being biased, that it's not producing errors. We need to be able to make sure that AI can explain how it has come to some of these decisions and conclusions based on the huge volumes of data that it's using to make those predictions. And the way that we do that is that companies can choose to use models that are inherently interpretable and algorithms that allow for transparency. So a lot of it has to do with the design of the AI right at the beginning, and then making sure that that is communicated with stakeholders so that they have a way of checking that they understand and that the AI is actually able to communicate how it has been created. I think one very important test that needs to be made, I think constant testing and audit of AI systems is crucially important to make sure that as they learn, they're not going off in unexpected directions. And what is extremely important to make sure that we are removing bias, because a lot of the data that we collect is bias, is by actually looking at the end result and making sure that the end result is fair and representative of the composition of society. So I'll just give you one example. In Queensland, we have a population that is made up of 4% Indigenous people. So if you have implemented an AI system, then you would need to make sure that, for example, if it's approving loans, that it is not, making that 4% is represented, and that you're not finding that actually 0% of that population has been approved for loans, whereas
So we don't get a
99%.
skewed result as such.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bias and fairness check.
Okay. Which probably brings us to ethics, although just before we go there, I guess what you were saying there about the checking, I expect we'll see in Japan, and I've certainly seen a lot of research and talk to date, not as much in Australia as overseas, but that the roles humans undertake in organisations, it's not so much that they will be replaced, but they will certainly evolve. And that sort of concept you're talking about there about uncovering bias, checking the results, editing and auditing, if you like, the AI outputs and decisions, that will surely become a fundamental part of work design and role design moving forward. So from our perspective, and we're very keen to see what's going on in other parts of the world, but from a role design perspective, we think it'll be very much an evolution rather than a revolution. So that'll be something for us to explore in a future topic.
Yes.
So what are your thoughts around adaptability? How can organizations remain adaptable, think on their feet, be agile if you like? From a human perspective, we very much talk about learning culture, embracing agile methodologies. AI is not static. It's, as you said, developing at an incredible rate of knots. So how do we learn to embrace that while also, I guess, protecting those things that really need to be protected, like ethics, like our culture, like our commitment to the human experience, if you like?
Yeah, I think that the key to this is in allowing for people to have the freedom within the business environment to experiment and to fail, but to allow them to do that in a risk-free way. And, funnily enough, AI can help you to do that because by, developing a simulation of the business, which, is not going to harm the bottom line if you try something and it fails. Then, that can actually help train people up to be making better decisions in the business and figuring out what the impact of AI is likely to have. But I think, ChatGPT has been a very interesting experiment in terms of really for the first time giving everybody who has an internet connection the opportunity to actually get hands-on with artificial intelligence, because I mean, until that time, I think it really has been much a very, very much a black box for everyone. So for businesses, the thing to learn, I think, is the opportunity to set up innovation labs or, sand pits where people can do experiments, but for it to be risk-free, so they don't need to worry about failure, and they can start to gain some confidence and build up their AI skills.
Right, sounds great. So, and that resonates with something we've been talking to clients about lately, which is AI curiosity teams. So freeing up people with a little bit of capacity, and as you say, the freedom to try things without worrying about whether they will fail or not, but to really drive that sense of curiosity. What could we do before, I guess, we give in to the anxiousness about the problems of AI. So, from our point of view, it's a key engagement question for organisations. How are we getting staff, our employees involved in the discussion around AI? And as you say, how do we give them that space to just try things out? I've been using as much as I can a little bit lately, obviously in this journey that you and I are on together, but even I would say, I've barely scratched the surface of what's possible.
Yes.
So freeing up our cultures, our learning cultures, our innovation, really helping our people, as you say, have that space. I do find people get worried when we talk about those things. They say, oh, we shouldn't be celebrating failure. The really important distinction in here is that we're celebrating the learnings from failure, and
Yes.
from successes, obviously, as well. But really what we want is people to stretch the envelope, push things outside the square, so to speak, and just see what the potential is.
And I think people just need to think of this as if they're an airline pilot who is training in a simulator. I mean, you actually want those pilots to have experienced the failure of an engine or the failure of a major system, and then been given the freedom to trial different methods to figure out how they would get out of that situation in real life. You don't want to be putting a pilot under the stressful situation of having to figure that out on the job. And that's exactly what we're suggesting, with this idea of having these AI curiosity teams.
Great. Thanks, Sue. So I'm going to pause to wrap up now for our first series of the first episode of our podcast, All Things AI. So thanks very much for your insight, Sue. I hope our listeners are enjoying this conversation. We have been asking the internet, if you like, or all of those out there in the social media world, what questions they have around AI. And in the next couple of episodes, we'll be tabling some of those questions. And posing that to both Sue and myself, and see where we might, throw some light on things that people are either excited about, or worried about. So, as we wrap up, today we've talked a bit about transparency, adaptability, how do we really engage with AI in a way that leverages its potential, but also obviously covers off those risks, which we'll talk about more in upcoming episodes. As I said, we're off to Japan first week of June. We look to share those insights with you in upcoming episodes. But for today, thank you for listening, and we will be back with you shortly for episode two. This is All Things AI, Dr. Sue Kay and Helen Wood bringing this conversation to you in Australia to help us learn more about and adapt AI in our situation here, to the best of our absolute ability. Thanks, Sue.
Thanks.